We have got to make sure our hearts are open and ready to receive God's word. I want to do something before we get in this. Let's just lift our hands and let's ask the Lord to clear out anything that might hinder the flow of the word, anything that might hinder the Lord speaking to us tonight. Just begin to say it, Lord, clear my mind from the things of this day. Clear my mind from doubts and frustrations and let me hear the word of God. Let the word of God fall on the good ground of my heart, God. Let your word be hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Help your word to be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Help my faith to grow by hearing the word of God. I pray this day, Lord, strengthen every soul, strengthen every heart, and strengthen every mind in the name of Jesus. Say in the name of Jesus. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Again, that's Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. And when you're there, just say amen. And for those who are looking on the screen, just say amen when you see it on the screen. We're spoiled nowadays, right? And it reads, "And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Jumping down to verse 11. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth." Jump down to verse 18. "But with thee will I establish my covenant, that thou shalt come into the ark." Say, come into the ark.
Come into the ark.
"Thou, thy sons, thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee." Verse 22. "Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he." Genesis chapter 7, verse 23. "And every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and creeping things and the fowls of heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark." I want to talk to you tonight about Jesus, the ark of safety. God, I pray you continue to guide us this night. Let your word come forward and do that which it is sent out to accomplish. Touch the ears of the hearer and help them to take heed how they hear your word and how they understand your word. God, I pray tonight a spirit of understanding, a spirit of wisdom and revelation to your word would bless your people and guide us all, Lord, to get to the place you are calling us to be able to continue to walk this walk and believe in you and trust in you. I pray this night, God, that you would bring understanding and clarity to the minds of us all. Let it be done by the authority of your word and the power in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. So what we've got to understand is this. Noah lived in the midst of a generation that was wicked. It wasn't just a bad generation, like some of the towns we may have grew up in or around. But this was a wicked generation. It says that they only did evil. The thoughts of their heart were evil continually. This was a wicked generation. All they cared about was themselves, what they wanted to do, how they wanted to live. They just cared about getting drunk and fornicating and lying and cheating and stealing and doing whatever their flesh and their will desired to do. Everyone was like this. And this is nothing new to us, because when we walk outside these doors, we see a generation that's corrupt and wicked and unrighteous, going from the president, the government, and everyone down to our neighbors and people around us. Wickedness, wickedness, unrighteousness, unrighteousness. And in the midst of all this chaos, in the midst of all this wickedness, the Bible says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Many people might look at that and read and think, well, why did Noah find so much grace? What was so great about Noah? Why in the midst of this generation did he stand out? See, in Genesis chapter 6, verse 9, it says, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. But you got to understand the generation Noah lived in. It was wicked. It's not like Noah was some perfect person. The Bible says the thought of their heart was wicked and evil continually. This does not mean Noah was just this great thing that we could never attain to. Noah messed up. Noah had issues. Noah had struggles. His family had struggles. But yet in the midst of this generation, there was something in the mind, in the heart of Noah that was different. That said, I want something more. I may not know how to do everything, but I'm trying to walk with you, God. I'm trying to understand who you are. I don't want the world. I don't want this wickedness. I want something different. And every one of us, in our own right and regard, is walking that same life, going through schools, going through colleges, going in jobs, going in the marketplace, wishing we could get away from the nonsense of this world. But you see, here's the thing. Romans 5:20 says, but where sin abounded, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. It doesn't matter what family you grew up in. It doesn't matter the situation you're in, because the grace of God will see you and reach to you and begin to talk to you and help you if you will listen. It doesn't matter where you've come from. Too many times we think maybe we had to grow up in this house or grow up in a church. No, all you have to do is open your heart and begin to listen to the God who is talking to you. But see, here's something I want you to understand. Verse 11 of Genesis 6 says this. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. See, you got to understand this. When we as human beings sin, and when we do unrighteousness, it pollutes the earth. It pollutes the very earth we live in. What we do day in and day out affects the very nature and elements of the earth we live in. We're going to get into it because I'm going to show you books so you understand what I'm talking about. Genesis 6, verse 12. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. You see, here's the thing. Every single one of us has one of two choices to make. It's the same thing that was in the garden. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We have the decision to follow the Lord, to follow the things of God, to learn about him and try to understand what he's asking. Or we do the contrary, which is following the god of this world, Satan. Just because many of us say, oh, I'm not going to follow the Lord, I'm going to do my own thing. What you're saying is, I'm going to allow Satan, the god of this world, to control my thoughts, to control how I live, to control what I watch, to control what I say. Because if you're not governed by God, you're governed by the other god. little g. The Bible clearly says he is the God of this world. So all of us, it doesn't matter where you are, has the choice to follow one of two gods. But you got to see this. There's a direct correlation with the sin of humanity and the condition of the earth. Listen to this. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, listen to this, and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. The land was contaminated because they turned from God. They sinned against God. They didn't do what he asked them to do, but they did what they wanted. This is why the Lord said, if I shut up the heavens that there be no rain, if I send a pestilence, he was letting you know, if you don't follow the ways of God, it affects everything. Every one of us has the choice. Everything we do. It affects your family. It affects your home. It affects those around you. Every choice you make affects something. And the Lord's trying to set that framework in our hearts. Because you've got to understand this. We are believing his word. Faith is simply believing God's word. Hebrews 11:7 says this. By faith, being warned of God of things not seen yet, he moved with fear, preparing an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Noah, hearing the word of God and obeying it, that was the faith. That was him walking. He did not see it. He didn't know what was going to come. He didn't even know what a boat looked like. He never seen rain, but God spoke a word to him. When God speaks a word to you, it doesn't matter if you've ever seen the situation. It doesn't matter if you know what it looks like. Trust his word. That is your faith. Trusting in a word that God says to you, even though you don't see it. But will we believe? Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is God, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You see, when God begins to share things with you, you've got to trust his word. And as you come to him, you've got to believe him and take him at his word. Because if you don't believe that word, the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Don't let that man think he will receive anything of the Lord. But if you believe his word, if you believe that I am a child of God, if you believe that he will save me, if you believe that he will free you, if you believe that he is all powerful, if you believe that he loves you, indeed you shall receive. Because it says he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. How diligent are you? How diligent are you? Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When God told Noah that word, Noah didn't see it, but he said, destruction is coming, and I'm hoping I'm going to be saved by following God's word. You see, many of you have come in here and you've heard many times, not even this place, maybe throughout your life, them saying Jesus is the way, Jesus is the truth, Jesus is the life, but you pushed it off. You see, that's doubt, that's frustration. But when you believe Jesus is the way, you're believing that word, even though you don't see it, even though you don't see your life perfected yet, even though you don't see situations change yet, you believe his word and say, he is my light, he is my salvation, he will restore me. God will show up because he's responding to your faith in his word. Romans 10:17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see, when God speaks that word and we hear it,
You've got to grip your faith on the word of God. Yes. It does not matter what comes your way. It does not matter if things fall apart and you don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. You've got to begin to say, God, I trust you. I believe in you. I don't know when it's going to come to pass. I don't know when things are going to get better, but I'm holding to your word. I'm believing in your word. Whatever God has promised you, if he promised to heal you, hold to his word. If he promised to fill you, hold to his word. Diligently seek. I praise you, Lord. I believe I'm healed. I receive. Receiving that healing. I believe I'm filled. I'm receiving that filling. You've got to speak the word out. The word he spoke to you, you've got to speak it out in faith every day. Every day I wake up, I begin to speak those words God has given me. I speak them out as they are. Even though I don't see them yet, I believe them. And I patiently wait for his word to be fulfilled in my life. And God is saying to you today, will you believe my word? You see, because God spoke to Noah, and he simply said to him this, there's a flood coming. And I want you to do some things. You see, many of us, God has spoken things to us. And we've read that word, and that word has spoken to us. You see, but God has specifications. He's very specific. You see, God told him to build a boat, but he didn't just tell him to build a boat and leave him. In Genesis 6, verses 14 through 17, it says, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and thou shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height 30 cubits. So this is a boat that's 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. You see, sometimes we read these stories and we're like, oh, okay. No, listen. Noah, his wife, three sons, and three daughters built that boat. They built that boat. But here's the thing you've got to understand. It took 100 years to build that boat. Can you imagine every day waking up? Sawing. Shem, Ham, Japheth, come on. Wife, I need more pitch. Every day. Day in and day out. After year 35, I'm sure the boys are like, I'm not getting you nothing. You sure you heard from God? It has been 35 years, Dad. 50 years goes by. 70 years goes by. The wife's like, dear, I love you. I know I'll follow you till death do us part. Yours might come early. Is this really what we're supposed to do? Over and over. And we think about this, but don't really think about it. Because here's the thing. When you're walking in your relationship with God, every year you're sitting in the place of Noah. You're following the word of God. You're obeying the word of God. Even though you don't see things coming to pass, you're still building. You're still moving. You're still doing what God said. Even when people are walking by saying, you're crazy. You're a loony. Why are you doing this? You're goofy. Why don't you just come be with us? The pressures every single day and year pressing against you, saying, just give up. Just be like us. Don't come to the Lord. Don't listen to his word. It's been 80 years, Noah. Relatives looking at you. You've been serving God for 5 years. You're not rich yet. I see you still struggling. I see you got health issues. I see your children are still acting up sometimes. Noah was not perfect. Neither was his family. But they held by faith to the word of God. And that's what God is saying to us today. Hold to my word. No matter what you see. No matter what happens. Hold to my word. Because as you believe, I'm telling you, I know year after year, Noah's like, I'm going to believe. I'm going to trust the promise. I'm going to keep working. When they got half of the boat done, we're almost there. I got to keep working. Because here's the thing. Noah understood there was coming a day when the boat would be finished. And he worked towards it. He pushed towards it. And there's coming a day where salvation will visit you. Healing will visit you. Deliverance will visit you. Keep pushing. Keep pushing. Keep pushing. Keep pushing. No matter what the world says to you, keep pushing. Because the one thing we sometimes don't understand is that even though we work and we do things, God is the one who brings them to pass. God is the one at the appointed time, he will fulfill it. God was speaking to Noah prophetically. And that simply means God was telling him of future events that would happen now. And when he heard the word of God now, he had to enact on it right now and start the progress, start the process, and do what God said. Many times we want God to do all this, but we have not obeyed the first commandment to repent. Or the words he's spoken to us. God dictated what came into the ark. You see, many times we come into churches or in a relationship with God and we try to dictate to him what we're going to do, how it's going to work. I'll serve you if you do this, if you give me that, if you do this. I don't really want to do that, but I'll do this. And God is looking, saying, this is my word. Follow it or don't. I will bless you and fulfill my word, but the choice is up to you. And see, there's the God of this world that is speaking in your ears. Do you really got to do that? Noah, do you really got to build that boat? Noah, do you really got to follow the specifications? Noah, instead of two animals and seven, why don't you bring in 15? Why don't you bring in this? All around us, you have different people and religions and things saying, hey, you don't got to do it the way the Bible says. You don't got to follow the instructions of God. God gave him instruction. And God's so detailed. I want you to hear this. The Lord tells Noah, I want you to bring in animals. Male and female. Why? To repopulate the earth. We are not the ones who control what God has put in alignment. If God was detailed with male and female and animals, we understand a man is a man, a woman is a woman. And God is saying, if you want to come into the ark of safety, I love you, I will protect you, I will wash you and cleanse you, but you must come in as I have spoken. What would have happened if Noah and his three sons would have went in the ark and the ladies would have stayed behind? The earth would have died. No repopulation. God understands what he created. No matter what the world says, no matter what they perpetrate, year after year, building that boat, they're going to speak their doctrine to you. They're going to speak their wickedness to you. But what will you do? Will you put the hammer down? Will you put God's word down and bow to them? Or will you stand and say, I will do what thus saith the Lord? You see, because in Genesis chapter 7, verses 1 through 5, it's not until Noah obeyed the first commandments that God gave him the next instructions. If God has been silent to you, the first thing you need to do is ask yourself, have I obeyed what he already told me? Have I already obeyed what he told me? It says, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before this generation. You've got to understand, 100 years sitting in front of them, Noah and his family building the ark. Every day you live your life for God, you stand in front of people, and you are the ones by your life showing them the witness of who the Lord is, showing them who God is through your life. And every day they see that, and they have the choice to make it. Either I'm going to come in and follow and get in the ark of safety, or I'm going to stand back and mock you. And you've got to be the ones to say, even when it gets hard, will I live this life before them? Will I be a witness before them? Because God is looking at you and he's saying, do I find you righteous in this generation? A generation that denies me, that takes me out of their schools, that takes me out of their courthouses, a generation who despises me, mocks me, blasphemes my name. A generation I died for. But yet the Lord still shows love, mercy, and grace to all who will come. Because 100 years went by, and at any moment during that portion, it could have been the year 99, 364 days left, and all of them could have come in. All of them. It is a choice. God does not send people to hell. It's their choice. Because here's the thing. In order for you to get into heaven, you have to follow it and go through the door, which is Jesus. And you've got to obey his commandments. You've got to align to what he said. How to get to that destination, which is outlined in the word of God. And if you don't follow the word, then you will end up away from him. How could you expect to live for someone in eternity that you don't desire to truly know how to get to him? Is it more important for us to get to our vacations or this or that than to get into the kingdom? None of us knows the day we're going to die. My dad told me yesterday of a 30-year-old kid got in an accident in a truck, him and his friend dead. 30 years old. Mother did not expect that. Nobody knows the day or the hour that the Lord will come. And see, here's what you've got to see. Here's what you've got to see. God is the one who shut the door. It was not Noah. If Noah shut the door, they would be able to blame and point the finger at Noah. But God is the one who shut the door, because God is the one who gave instructions for the door to be there. And he is the one who invited all to come through the door. And he is the one who shut the door. But the Bible says this: everything died that was not in the ark of safety. Genesis 7, verses 21. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast and of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And every man in all whose nostrils was the breath of life, and all that was in the dry land died. And every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and creeping things, and the fowls of heaven that were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. Hallelujah. Everything that was created. God created the world and everything that's in it. And if it's his prerogative to destroy it, that's what he can do. Everything was destroyed that was not in the ark. Mark 16, 15 through 16 says, and he saith unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized, say baptized, shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Doesn't this picture look familiar? You see, whoever comes into the ark shall be saved. But he that stands on the outside of the door shall be damned. I don't know how far you are in your walk with God, but I am telling you right now, Why would you fight against being saved and not be baptized in the name of Jesus than to reject it or say, I can do it tomorrow, not knowing if there is going to be a tomorrow? Why would you wait and say, I'll wait, when God is saying the door is open now, the waters are there for you now? Today is the day of salvation. Galatians 3:27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You have come into the ark of safety. When you're baptized, you put on Christ. You come into that ark of safety. Romans 6:3, know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. What you got to understand is when they went into that ark, they entered into the ark, but everything outside of them died. Sin died. Unrighteousness died. The world that was polluted died. Everything died that was not in the ark. Everything died. And when you're baptized into Jesus Christ, you're baptized into his death, because he died on the cross that we might have life. He said, you belong on the outside of this ark, but I love you so much. When you go down in those waters of baptism, I put myself on you. So instead of you dying, I die. But you get to have life. You get to enter into the ark of safety. Romans 6, verses 6 through 7, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Noah died to his will, sitting there year after year building the ark, obeying the word of God. Noah died to his will. When will we die to our will? When will we understand this life is not about us? It's not about our hopes and dreams. Young people, you need to understand right now, it's not about you. It's not about what you want. You may walk in this church, get all tired. I want to go home. I want to do this. What happens tomorrow if you die and you face eternal damnation? You tell me right now, will you be strong enough to stand in front of God Almighty and give an account for why you rejected him when he loved you and he gave his all to you? We think we're so big and bad, but yet when we stand before God who made everything, how many of you would stand in the middle of a road with a tornado coming dead at you? You would not, because you fear. God made the tornado, and it is nothing but a flake of grain, a piece of sand to him. Why would we not fear God, who can destroy the body and the soul, rather than fearing man and trying to look good for people and trying to be like the world and trying to say, no, I don't want to be in the ark of safety. I want to be in the world of sin. Why would we do that? The world offers you nothing. You drink and get drunk and you have headaches and hangovers. You sleep with people and you wish you never would have. The world will use you and abuse you and throw you away. And you know it's true. Look at the athletes. Look at the singers. Look at the movie stars. Once they hit a certain place, they're done. Many of them commit suicide. Many of them give up their lives because they're empty. And God is saying, will you come into the ark of safety? I'll heal you. I'll wash you. I'll love you. I'll protect you. The one who created us is saying, I will put my spirit in you. And I am drawing you and inviting you. I'm drawing you and I'm inviting you. You've got to understand he's drawing you right now. 1 Peter 3:18 through 21 says, for Christ hath also once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, putting to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Amen. But which also went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Listen to this, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while an ark was preparing, wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved by water. Eight souls were saved by water. Eight souls were saved by water, not by the wood of the ark. They were saved by water. Because many of us look at, as they got in the boat, they were saved. No, God was eradicating sin. And he says, by water, I'm going to eradicate the sin. By water, I'm going to destroy everything. Eight souls were saved by water. Listen to this. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. They escaped by water. We escape by water. When you go down in that water in Jesus' name, all your sin, all your issues are destroyed, washed away, just like in Noah's day. That is what saves you from the sin and unrighteousness. But you got to understand this. The God who is the one who closed the door to the old life opens the door to the promises and a new life. Because when they came into that ark, they were awaiting 40 days, then 150 days, then more days went by. They were waiting. And the God who closed the door to the old man, to the old life, to the old earth, opened a new door that they could enter into the promise. Genesis 8, verse 15. And God spake unto Noah, saying, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth thee every living thing that is with thee, all flesh, both fowl, cattle, creeping things, everything upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons and wives with him, every beast, every creeping thing, every fowl, and whatsoever creeped upon the earth after their kind went forth out of the ark. Everything that obeyed God was spared. The animals obeyed God and were spared. And all of them went out into the new earth. Old things passed away, and behold, all things have become new. John 10, verse 7 says this. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man will enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and go out and find pasture. You will only be saved when you enter into the ark of Jesus Christ, into his safety, repenting, being baptized, covered by the ark of Jesus in his name, and then he will bring you into a new life. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. You've got to understand, you will be a new creature. No longer the stains and condemnation of sin. No longer that unrighteousness. And even if you went down in that water, God's saying, there's new life coming. I want to breathe my breath in you. John chapter 3, verses 3 through 8. Jesus answered and said unto him, him being Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he in a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, Ye must, not you should, not it might be a good thing. Ye must be born again. You must be born again. Acts 2:38. Peter says unto them, you've got to repent. You've all been doing your own thing. You've been living your own lives. The first ark has come, and that is the ark that destroyed the world by water. But they are now saying a second ark has come, and the world will be destroyed by fire. The world will burn up. The Bible says the earth will melt with fervent heat. You see, the Bible clearly is showing us that God is saying, even my earth must obey the command of being born of the water and of the Spirit. John said, there is one that comes. He will baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. They went down in the water. The earth was covered. And you see, within the scripture is so detailed. The Bible says that when the waters began to ascend, it says the ark lifted up off the face of the earth. And it says the ark lifted above the mountain tops, 15 cubits higher. You see, what God is trying to show us the detail. When you're baptized in my name, everything that was cursed and filthy must be under the water. It must die. The Lord even let the very mountain be covered by water. So what makes us think that we don't have to be covered in his name by water? I implore you, if you've not been baptized, what doth hinder you? Why would you wait to enter into safety in the ark of safety? Peter tells to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you. You, me, every one of us, no one excluded. Repent and be baptized, and ye shall, say shall, receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You see, that's a promise. Because you know what that Holy Ghost is? That's our seal. That's our earnest inheritance, waiting for that which God said he would. This is why you don't have to beg for it. You simply have to obey the commands. If you haven't repented, repent today. If you haven't been baptized in Jesus' name, we got robes for you. Let's go down in the water and wash the sins away. The Bible clearly says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, taking away of sin. You must go down in the water, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. When you come to this altar, remember, he that cometh to God must believe he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. When you come to the altar, Lord Jesus, I'm seeking you. I receive that which you want to give me. He will be a rewarder as you seek him, as you open your heart and say, Lord, enter into me. Lord, come into this. You've already put your name on me when I went down in the water, but now you need to come inside of me to clean my heart, to clean my mind, to clean my spirit. Old things are passed away and all things become new. When you allow the Holy Ghost to come in, it teaches you, it guides you, it leads you, and it helps you. Lift your hands right now and begin to talk to him. In the name of Jesus. 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 Help us to hear this word, God, and obey the word. Your word says Noah obeyed everything you told him. Let us obey. Let us repent. Let us be baptized in the name of Jesus. Let us seek the infilling of your spirit and let go of control. What you've got to understand is this. Even after everything that happened, Even after the years that went by, you can stand. Even after the years that went by. Noah's probably sitting in that ark, letting the ravens out in the doves, wondering in his mind, God, how did I find grace and favor in your sight? How did me and my family escape the judgment that the whole world and the earth received? How did we find grace? How? And many of us come to the altar and we say, God, I'm not worthy. How could I find grace in your sight? It's simply his grace that he loves us, that while we were yet sinners, he died for us because he saw you even in this very moment, that you would stand before his word ready to make a decision. And I want you to see this, because after everything was done, after Noah and them finally understood the waters had receded, and God said, it's now time for you to go outside of the ark. I want you to see what Noah does. Genesis chapter 8, verse 20. And Noah building an altar unto the Lord. And he took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite anymore every living thing as I have done. It was not until after Noah came out of the ark and built an altar to worship is when God's heart was changed and he smelled the savor of his worship. You see, when you, after coming out of those waters or even before coming to an altar, you build that altar yourself and say, Lord, I want relationship with you. Not just a moment of you saving me. I want relationship with you. This is why the Bible says Noah walked with God. God is asking you today, will you walk with me? No matter what season, no matter what place you are in, will you walk with me? Yes, Jesus. But it's going to take you and I to build altars. And tonight, God is saying this. Wherever you're at, if you need to repent, it's time to come forward and build an altar. If you need to receive his spirit, it's time to come forward, lift your hands, and begin to worship him. Send up that savor, because the Lord will hear you and smell it, and he will speak and answer you. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. The Lord's saying, if my people will come forward and begin to talk to me, begin to have relationship with me, begin to worship me, begin to repent to me, begin to turn from unrighteousness and turn to me, the ark of safety, then will I hear and I will heal and forgive. I will forgive your sin. It doesn't matter what you've done. When you call out to him, when you humble yourself and come to him, when you humble yourself and break away from the crowd and enter into the ark and begin to labor with the other brothers and sisters, God forgives you and wipes your sin away. I'm inviting all those, if you want God to fill you with his spirit, come build an altar. If you want God to heal you and begin to restore you, come build an altar. If you want God to guide you and lead you and help you, if you've already entered in by baptism in the Spirit, if you want to continue to build what God has told you to, come and offer a worship to him. Offer your heart to him. Offer your life to him. Don't let anyone hold you back. Don't let it be said that while God had the door wide open, you stayed on the outside because you thought you were better than this. Just begin to worship Him and pray.
I give myself to you. You are belong. I give myself. I give myself to you.
Thank you, Lamb of God. Hallelujah.
We give ourselves away, Lamb of God. Yes, Jesus. La 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 Messiah. Yeah, la 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 Messiah. Thank you, Lamb of God, Jesus. Yes, la 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 Messiah. My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself. I give myself to you. center of my life. Jesus, be the center of my life. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it always be you, Jesus.
Could, let's just lift up our hands one more time and worship Him. Thank Him for all that He is doing and all He has done. Lord, we give You the glory. We give You the praise, God. We worship You. We praise
You. Lord Jesus.
We glorify You.
Thank You, Lord. Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank You.
Hallelujah.
Thank You for Your presence. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord.
The Lord is saying, I will continue to walk with you and guide you every step of the way. I will lead you and guide you through every season and through everything that you will face. But you must continue to walk with me. You must continue to trust me. You must continue to seek after me. And as you seek for me, you will find me. As you continue to search for me with all of your hearts. Because as you walk towards me, I walk with you and towards you. And I will cover you. I will guide you. I will strengthen you. I will equip you for the work that I have called you to do, thus saith the Lord. God is speaking to us, and he is beginning this revival to let us know we have got to pursue after him. We can't allow anything to keep us from his presence, from his word, from his spirit. Whatever he's telling you to do, do it. Don't wait. Don't delay. Don't sit back. Surrender and give it all to him. Keep pushing. Keep pursuing. Because the day will come when the doors will open. Knock and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Ask and ye shall receive. Do not stop. Do not stop. God, I pray this night, God, as we continue to pursue you and as we leave this place, God, that you would guide us, protect your word, guide our hearts and minds, God, to continue to pursue you, Lord. Help us to make an altar at home. When we wake up, let us make an altar. Let us come tomorrow morning with expectation to go further in you, to seek you again and allow you to do everything you want to do in our lives. For you are mighty and strong, and you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us. I pray over the word, God. I pray over the seeds that have been placed in our hearts. I pray over those who have become vulnerable to you tonight, God, and begin to draw and get close to you, God. Lord, I pray that, Lord, the door would be open and they would give up complete control and you would fill them. You would be they would be baptized in your name. That, God, they would enter into that ark of safety and into that new kingdom, into the kingdom where you give them access. I pray this day, let us all believe and move forward in you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Everyone say amen. Amen, amen. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Chris. Amen. How many were blessed by the presence of the Lord tonight? Thank you, Jesus. So blessed, so blessed, so blessed. Hallelujah. There are a couple of more of these cards. And I don't see too many here, but there's some over there, and I think there were some in the very front. Please don't leave any of these cards here tonight. Would you help me out with that? Yeah. I got one yes from my son. Thank you, son. Anybody willing to take some of these cards and give them to somebody? There's 3 more services for this revival. Please help us out with that. I don't want to see any cards left out there because they're no good after the revival's over. So don't keep them for souvenirs. Amen. The reason I asked you if you feel blessed is how many believe God blesses us just for us? God doesn't bless you just for you. We're not trying to like make this some sort of exclusive club where we come and get blessed and there are lost people walking by that aren't receiving the blessing from the Lord. We understand what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. So let's take some of these cards, if there's any left, and get them into the hands of somebody that needs them. Amen? Thank you so much for coming tomorrow morning at 10:30 for prayer, 11 o'clock for service. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.